How do you produce results when there's no accountability and no support from your team or the project sponsor? Have you ever been blamed for a project failure that wasn't really entirely your fault? What if the key to surviving a failed project isn't just about taking responsibility, but about showing the receipts of every decision you've made? In today's episode, we'll dive into how you can defend your work, present evidence, backed by solutions, of course, and turn failure into a, watch this family, stepping stone for future success. Are you ready to transform how you handle what we call projects, setbacks for set up opportunities? Ooh, I like that. You mind if I share a quick story for you? When I was working at this organization as a project manager, long time ago, this was probably early, no, it was early in my career. Everything was the project manager's fault. And it was frustrating because I would go to my direct manager and I would say, hey, this is what is going on in the project. The project team is not responsive. The stakeholders, you know, they're not, they really could care less because they didn't see the value in the project. And my direct manager said, well, you're the project manager, go and fix it. I said, wait a minute. I said, could you say that again? Cause I got small ears, family. So I just wanted to make sure we was on the same page. She was like, yeah, you're the project manager, go and fix it. And it irritated me to the full. I'm just going to keep it all the way on. I was so mad and disappointed because I worked so hard to get here in that particular role. I put in the time, the studying, the ups and downs of trying to navigate this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. And to be in this environment, I just couldn't figure it out because I wasn't just coming to her with a problem. I was coming to her with proposed solutions like, hey, I've done this. And I need your support. Maybe it's me. I don't know what it is, but I would really love your support so we can establish the proper expectations. And they didn't have the proper PMO or the proper project management setup. It was just, hey, this is what needs to be done. And I was like, well, hey, you know, because of course, just got my CAPM. I think I got my CAPM at that time. And I was still in the PMBOK mode, which we should be as project managers, but we should also reflect on real world. And so I was like, hey, where's the charter at? And there was no charter. And I was like, well, let me put together a charter. And it was like, oh, we don't need none of that. You know, we just need, here's the task and here are the people that's responsible. We just need you to hold them accountable. And I realized, family, in that moment, and it didn't, you know, I heard Steve Jobs talk about connecting the dots, and I use that a lot. And it wasn't until I started connecting the dots, meaning working in a number one, better organization, and number two, an organization that really, truly supports project managers. Because if you are in an environment that does not support project managers, I don't care what you do. You can be the most exceptional project manager in the world. You can know the PMBOK front and back. You can know how to build schedules front and back, build a project management plan. It won't matter if you do not have the proper environment to cultivate and grow in. Because if one of the major things is and sometimes it gets missed, is a project manager does not have direct reports. Especially, you know, you're working in a cross-functional atmosphere. So you have a resource in marketing, you may have a resource in IT, et cetera. So having the ability I had to learn it and cultivate an ability to develop persuasion, to be able to be more tactical, to be less emotional and more factual. And this is what I want to share with you today as today's episode, because I want to let you know, family, that some of this is your fault when you have a poor project, but a lot of it also is the environment. It's the culture that if you do not have a supporting culture, it doesn't matter what happens. Let's go through my 8-point framework and I'll let you be on your way with my closing transformational remarks. Point number one, conduct a detailed root cause analysis. What's a root cause analysis? It's a structured process that basically is used in project management. I also see it used in other ways, where you're just basically looking for the underlying problem so you can implement solutions so they won't happen again. One of the things I always recommend is when you are up against problems, just like I shared in the story, you want to escalate this to your project sponsor or steering community as soon as red flags emerge. Don't wait on it. Don't assume. But the key thing here is that you want to be able to propose a solution. And you know what type of environment you're in is how serious they take your escalation, especially when you're providing the solution with the documentation that goes along with it. So here's my actionable tip. Break down the project into phases and identify where failures occurred. See, there's a pattern where you'll see failures occurred at. So you want to break those down. Then you want to use data to map out the root cause rather than just making assumptions or as my cousin would say, get all in your feelings. But seriously, it's really real because you can get in your feelings. And when you get in your feelings, then you get in your way. I like that, family. Next time I will also ensure more frequent risk assessments to catch issues earlier. Point number two, own the mistakes, but don't take all the blame. Yeah, I said that. Mm-hmm. So you want to be able to establish clear communication expectations from the start to ensure all team members are aligned. You know the key mantra here, documentation beats what? Documentation beats conversation. So use facts and documentation to explain your action without becoming defensive. See, when you have facts and documents, basically, you don't have to become emotional. You don't have to become defensive because even in a court of law, your emotions don't matter. They don't even resonate because cases are won and lost. Yes, some on emotion, but more or less about what the facts were presented against what the law that was broken. So we have to understand, we need to document. This is why I'm so big on pushing documentation. So when you are in your lessons learned or your postmortem or your retrospective, whatever you want to entitle or call it, but the key foundation of all of those I just mentioned is what didn't go well, what did go well, basically a positive and negative. You want to be able to have the documentation when someone says, well, it's all the project manager's fault. The project manager should have done this, and this. And you say, well, on Monday at this time, I sent this email. I also, during our meeting, I followed up on it again. I also escalated it. You tell me what I could have done better. See, when you put the ownership back on the person who was saying, this is your fault, this is your blame, this is all your fault, you say, okay, I'm willing to own that mistake, but where do you come in? Because last time I checked, we are a collective as a team. All right. So actionable tip, take accountability for what was within your control, but differing between personal responsibility and external factors. Focus on collaboration for future improvement. Point number three, document all project issues and escalations. You know, this is what that was going to be the running mantra through today's episode, documentation. Leveraging escalations properly. So anyway, regular update stakeholders with documentation to ensure transparency. When blamed, present those documents, issue an escalation as evidence of step taken to prevent failure. Here's my actionable tip. Keep a log of all major issues, including dates, the action that was taken. And also, this is key too, because I don't see a lot of project managers doing this. And I actually started doing more of this is, what were your escalation attempts? Document that as well. This documentation protects you against blame and shows accountability. Point number four, lead with solution, not just problems. Again, family, we understand that these things are happening and it's not right. It's not fair. You probably want to go into a pity party. I'm not going to blame you. I'm just telling you the facts here. It's okay. But after you get out that pity party, let's focus on leading with solution and not just problems. In the future projects, you know, that you're leading, you want to have a proactive lessons learned session during the project, just not at the end. Ensure issues, again, this key word is being escalated and propose this other keyword solution to demonstrate leadership is addressing challenges. Here's my actionable tip. When addressing failures, focus on how similar issues can be prevented and present actionable solutions rather than dwelling solely on mistakes. Family, you can sit in the mistake realm as long as you want to, but it does you no good. You can focus on the problem as long as you want to. It doesn't move you forward. So once you identify what the problem or mistake is, start working diligently and keep your focus there on the solution. Point number five, this is one I've struggled with over my career, and I'm not even gonna lie to you, until I started understanding and started laughing because I just started documenting better. And that's maintaining a professionalism during postmortem. What is postmortem? It's also it's also referred to like a project debrief. Scrum has a framework, and the Scrum framework is called retrospective. This basically means, family, what happened, positive and negative. I can break it down even more, but just use neutral fact-based language to deflect unjust blame while staying solution focused. Here's my actionable tip: focus on data, facts, and process improvement. Avoid that finger pointing and emotional reaction. It doesn't do anything for you, and it doesn't do anything for the organization as well as the team. Point number six, improve communication with sponsors. You want to involve your sponsors early and often. You want to make sure that they understand their importance, why they're needed, why have a project sponsor if you can't leverage them properly. You want to use frequent check-ins to ensure all of the issues are addressed. Now, I know the question may be, bro, well, what if I don't have a project sponsor? And I only report it to my manager. Hey, you want to get them involved. And if you're not getting the proper support, you need to start looking at alternative solutions. And that alternative solution may be, and I hate to say this because I'm big on doing as much as you can, fighting for the opportunity as much as you can, but you may need to look for other opportunities. If you're, because again, like I stated at the beginning of this episode, it doesn't matter how exceptional you are. You still, as a project manager, need support. You still, as a project manager, need somebody to come be, you know, if you send an email and you're on a call and you're constantly pushing and bugging, and they are still, that project team member or stakeholder is not being responsive to you, your leadership should be jumping in and helping you. Here's my actionable tip: regular check-in with project sponsor to ensure alignment and avoid surprises. Their support can be pivotal in overcoming hurdles. That's why I said, fam, sometimes this can be culture-based, which takes me into point number seven. Foster a culture of accountability, not blame. Again, foster a culture of accountability, not blame. See, when you're faced with a blame, address it with evidence of collaboration and accountability rather than being defensive, rather than being emotional, rather than being, oh, well, why is always me? No, we don't do that. We back our claims up with evidence. Here's my actionable tip: promote a project culture where team members take responsibility for their action and contribution to solution rather than shifting blame. I'll introduce more regular check-ins to reinforce team accountabilities. Point number eight, involve the right people in decision-making. Family, I've seen this so many times where we don't involve the right people in the decision-making. So it's imperative, matter of fact, it's so important to ensure you have the right stakeholders in the role when key project decisions are being made to prevent decision bottlenecks. Here's my actionable tip: engage senior leadership early in critical decision to capture and retain their buy-in. If key decisions are delayed, escalate to senior leadership to assure better results. And my bonus for you today, family, is build organizational resilience by supporting PM. What you want to be able to do, listen, fam, I continue to talk about culture. So the running themes have been culture, escalation. What's another one? Leading with solutions instead of problems. All of this is important because this builds an organizational resilience for supporting PMs. So advocating for policies that support project managers, including formal escalation paths and stakeholder management frameworks. Here's my actionable tip: get buy-in from executive sponsors to develop these frameworks for long-term organizational improvement. Let me say that again. So get buy-in from executive sponsors to develop these frameworks for long-term organizational improvement. Here's my transformational remarks, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity today. conduct a detailed root cause analysis. Family, this is just simply saying break down project into phases and identify where failures occur. Number two, lead with solutions, just not problems. Don't be that person that always focuses on the problem and misses the potential solutions that could be solving the problem. Don't be that person that spend so much time on the problem that you only spend 1 or 2 minutes on the solution. So present actionable solutions rather than dwelling solely on the mistakes. And the last and final point, maintain professionalism during the post-mortem, basically focusing on data, facts, and process improvement, and avoid the most crucial thing, which is finger pointing and or emotional reaction. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time, I'm out.